Father, we bless you. We thank you that your joy is the strength of the righteous. We run into your name tonight and we find safety in your name. Your name is a mighty and a strong tower. You are the refuge. You are the hiding place. We worship you. We love you. You are so good. Your mercies endure forever. Your loving kindness is much better than life itself. If we cannot turn to you, who else can we turn to? The words of life are with you. Wisdom for living is found in you. Who has grace for us? Who loves us dearly, unconditionally? Who believes in us? Who else can we delight ourselves in if not you? Who made us? Who's patient with us? It's only you. It's only you. May your heart be found in us. May your attitude be found in us. May your mind be found in us. May your word be found in us. May your spirit be found in us as we purpose to remain in you. We love you. We love you dearly. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We are living in very interesting times. Some of us are born in interesting times. We are living in times where it's very clear that a black man cannot lead us. A white man cannot lead us. In South Africa, we need a leader. In South Africa, we need a leader. We don't need a white man. We don't need a black man. We need a man who is inspired by the Spirit of God. We need a man who fears God. Who knows, maybe that person is you. Who knows? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Therefore, tonight, it's a night of inspiration. It's a night of conviction. It's a night where you have to look deep down in your heart and see and conceive the will of God for your life. You're not too young for it. You're not too young to please God. You're not too old either. David was called at a very young age. He was anointed at a very young age. Moses, Abraham were very old when they took heed to the calling of God. So it's not an age thing. It's a grace thing. You're not too young to receive the grace of God. You're not too young to live in the purposes of God. You're not too young to live in the plan of God. You're not too poor either. You're not too rich. It's not a money thing. It's an obedience thing. And tonight I pray that you'll be so convicted and so inspired to obey God with your life. To fear the Lord in all your ways. Your life is not a joke. It's not. And from today onwards, I want you to understand how much God wants to raise you up. With all your flaws, all your shortcomings, all your inabilities, incapacities, everything that seems to disqualify you, God wants you with it. And let tonight be a night where you say, Lord, I give my all. I want you. If you could change yourself, you would have already changed yourself by now. So it is clear that none of us can change ourselves. It's clear. And I pray that you will have that inspiration again and that conviction to allow God to change you, to transform you, to mold you, to make you. Because great leaders are not necessarily born, but they are made. So be inspired tonight as we get into the wisdom and the grace of understanding the beauty of co-working, of working together. I need you. He needs you. She needs you. You can't make it on your own. We all need someone to believe in us. We all need someone to encourage us. We all need someone to inspire us. But most importantly, someone needs you. As much as you need someone, someone needs you. And so take your life seriously. Like seriously. And live in such a way that God wants you to be the answer to your generation and your nation in this time, in this season. You've got it all. You have it all. It's in you. And God wants to use you. God wants to bless others through your life. He wants to encourage others through your life. And you just need to decide and be willing to be what God wants you to be. Life is not about having. Life is not about doing. It's about you become. So be willing to become. Be willing to become. Be willing to be. Because what's the point of us having things? What's the point of us doing things? And yet we are not what God wants us to be. What's the point of it all? Jesus says that when he speaks about false prophets, he says in that day they will say, "We have casted out demons in your name." When he speaks about false prophets, he says that they will say that we have healed the sick in your name. We have done it all. But his reply would be, "I don't know you." So it's not about what we do. It's about who we are. And what's the point of a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? So let's allow God to make us. And so that our having and our doing will be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Amen. And so let's leave from that place with joy in our hearts and faith in our hearts. And I'm so excited about tonight. I believe with everything in my heart that your life adds value. I believe with everything in my heart that you are born for a reason. And that reason is a blessing. So be free to be a blessing at all times and in all things. Amen. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6? Verse 9. Thank you, Tracy. All right. And so it reads like, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." God wants to reward us. He wants to bless us as we work together. So the idea is co-working, co-laboring, working together. We are different. I'm different from you. You are different from me. We are different. But our difference should not separate us. Our difference should always bring us together. When we work together, there is a possibility of giving up. There will always be possibility of throwing in the towel. Whatever you are doing, be it a business, be it marriage, be it studies, there'll always be that voice. It's somewhere there. It says, why don't you give up? What's the point of doing it? Is it really working? There'll always be that. But the encouragement today is, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't. And co-laboring is about, it actually requires a mindset of enthusiasm. You must be enthusiastic about working together. You must be optimistic about working together. And you must be optimistic and enthusiastic about achieving the same goal. And so in order for us to be enthusiastic, we must be very careful of being wary, be very careful of giving up. And there is a mindset that God requires from us that will really help us not to give up. There's a mindset that helps us not to give up. There's a mindset that helps us to be resilient. There's a mindset that helps us to be consistent, to gain momentum. There's a particular mindset that we need to adopt. And therefore tonight, I just want to encourage you and help you understand that it's pointless to give up. It's pointless. Whatever you are facing, don't give up. Just don't. Don't think about giving up. Don't think. That voice that says quit will always be there. But someone wrote something, and it sounds so godly, but it's not. It says, winners never quit, and quitters never win. So don't quit. Don't think about giving up. There'll always be that temptation that says, no, give up, give in, do this, do that. But be persistent, be resilient, persevere. And we need a particular mindset that will keep us in the purposes and in the plans and in the will of God. We need a mindset. We need a perspective. We need an approach that will help us not to get weary. We need an approach that will help us not to give in, but to be enthusiastic, to be optimistic, and to see the good even in the bad. Hallelujah. So let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It's actually, this is my favorite verse in the Bible, in all of the Bible. The reason why it's my favorite verse, it's we are building our marriage in this verse, and it's really helping us. And before ministry, before anything else, family comes first. And so if it can help my marriage, I believe it will help your church as well. Great. Finally, brethren, farewell. Goodbye. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So God wants us to be complete. We must adopt a mindset that says, I have to be complete. I have to give my all, my gifting, my time, my commitment, my faithfulness. In order for us to be effective and be efficient in doing what we are doing, we have to be complete. Give your all. Give your all at all times. Give your all in your serving. Give your all in your giving. Give your all in every single thing. Don't keep anything to yourself. Always give your all. This is the first approach, perspective that you need to have as you work together. The second thing that we need to look at is encouragement. Other translations, NIV says, be encouraged. And so you need to understand one thing. Without encouragement, it's very easy to give up. Without encouragement, it's very easy to give up. So the person that is sitting next to you needs you to encourage them. You might not know it, but they need you to encourage them. All of us, we thrive through encouragement. Each and every single one of us, we thrive through encouragement. Encouragement, it helps you to gain your confidence back. Encouragement helps you to be inspired. This is the purpose of encouragement. And when we are encouraged, it becomes easy for us to work together. But if we are discouraged, it's easy to see the flaws, the failures of the other person, the incompetence of the other person when you are discouraged. So be encouraged in order to be an encouragement. I cannot encourage you if I am discouraged. It becomes a drag. It becomes a strain. So I need to be encouraged in order to encourage others. So let's live with that mindset that I live my life in a way that I have to be an encouragement to others. And the reason why I have to be the encouragement to other people, it's simple. You don't have to give up. Encouragement helps you, man, to keep on going, to keep on going. And then the third one, be of one mind. Be of one mind. Have one mind. Just one mind. One vision. One purpose. One goal. It's very important. When people work together, they need to have one mind. One mind. I said when I began that we are different. Some are young, some are old, some are married, some are not. But even though that is the case, God requires us to have one mind. And what is that one mind? That one mind is, do not be weary in doing good. What is that one mind? That one mind is, you will reap the reward if you don't faint not. That is that one mind. We must always have that one mind. That God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then the third perspective that we need to have is to live in peace. This one is very key. It's very, very, very key. Peace creates order. Where there is no peace, there is disorder. And where there is disorder, people cannot function. God requires us to live in peace. Where there is peace, there is no frustration. Where there is peace, it's very easy to be inspired. It's very easy. It's not a toy. Where there is peace. So it's very important that as a family of believers that we must always cultivate an atmosphere of peace. There'll always be differences. We're not always going to see you're not going to see things the way the other sees things. But let's always create an environment of peace. Strive for that. As you work with other people, and it should not be just a church thing. It should be at home. At home, we live in peace. No offenses. No arguments. At school, workplace, business, ministry, whatever you name it, live in peace. The main purpose of peace is to create order. And God loves order. God is excited by order. And then the next thing that we need to understand, When we are encouraged, when we live in peace, when we are of one mind, Apostle Paul writes, he says, the God of love and peace will be with you. So, in order for God to engage in what we do, there is a responsibility that is expected from my side. God is expecting something from Amo. In order for the God of love and peace to be with you, then you must have one mind. You must live in peace. So if there is no peace, God cannot be there. If there is no peace in this church, if there is no peace in your family, in your marriage, in your business, God cannot be there. It's very important. It's very key. But if peace is absent, then it becomes easy because we are fighting against the spirit of discouragement. We're fighting against the spirit that says, give up, be wary, give up, give in. It's no profit, it's no good. You don't have to do this. But you need to create you must have a perspective, a particular mind
that says, I'm doing this thing for God. I'm doing it for His glory, for His purposes. I'm doing it to honor Him. So I'm living in peace to honor God. I am having this one mind to honor God. It's all for the glory of God. And when we live our lives like that, then we begin to see the presence of God. It's not only miracles and signs and wonders, but divine rewards, blessings. And God becomes part. God approves. God qualifies every single thing that you do as a family of believers. Hallelujah. And so, let's hold hands in such a way. But it begins with encouragement. Encouragement is key. It's impossible for people to live in peace unless they are encouraged. It's impossible. It doesn't happen. So how do you get encouraged? How do you? I have discovered, I love encouragement so much. I discovered that I cannot live without encouragement. I have to be encouraged, and I have to encourage other people. So how do you cultivate encouragement? How do you do it? Look, the best way to cultivate a mindset of encouragement is to look at what God has given you. What has God given you? So you look at it and you thank Him. For instance, me, God has blessed me with a wonderful wife. Wonderful wife. My wife is loving. My wife is kind. She's prayerful. She's full of grace. And so what I do, you can come here, sir. Yes, you. I'm just trying to demonstrate encouragement. So God has blessed me with a wonderful wife. Are you married? So he's not married. So when I meet him, I look at what God has blessed me with. Okay, God has blessed me with a wonderful wife, and I thank God. So when I meet him, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you will marry well. No matter what happens in your life, you will marry well. God will bless you with a wonderful wife who loves you, who loves him, and who is willing to work with you. Now, how do you feel after that? You feel encouraged. You feel like it's possible. And especially if you've been through heartaches, pain. But when someone comes to you and encourage you by what they have, you feel like, I can make it. I can make it. So this is how you cultivate a mindset of encouragement. You look at what you have, and you thank God for what you have, and you bless others with what you have. Amen. So now let's look at what you can do. You can sit down. I also enjoy leadership. I enjoy leadership. I believe a leader has to be humble. A leader has to be inspired. And leadership is more than doing, but it's something like doing. So what I do when, and talking about cultivating a mindset of encouragement, so you look at what you have, and you also look at what you can do. And so you call someone up again. You can come here. And so it's very important to encourage one another so that we will not grow weary. It's very important. So the last time I looked at what I have, now this time around you look at what you do. Because you're trying to cultivate a mindset of encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. And so you look at the person and you say, no, man, just keep it on the right track. Be humble, be inspired, be willing to learn, be willing to grow, be willing to serve, and be willing to be corrected, be willing to be instructed, and you will do well. And I believe in your future that people will look up to you. So don't give up. Don't give in. Be encouraged. And the moment after you hear such words, you get to believe in your leadership capacity. You can sit down. And so the point of this illustration is that live this kind of a life where you see the good in other people. But you cannot see the good in other people unless you see the good that God has blessed you with. Look at the things that God has blessed you with. And let those things be a testimony for others to be encouraged. Look at the things. What has God blessed you with? What can you do? What do you have? And use that to bless others. And when you do like that, you grow together as people who are living in peace, as people of one mind, as people who have a mindset to say we are not going to give up in our marriages, we are not going to give up in our leadership capacity, we are not going to give up in the plans of God for our lives. Amen. You guys, you scare me, man. You really scare me. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let's live our lives like that. One mind, be encouraged, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So don't grow weary in doing good. Be encouraged to do the good thing. The Bible says, hold on to what is good and hate what is evil. So be encouraged to do the good thing. Be encouraged to honor God in every single thing that you do. Be encouraged. Be an encouragement to others. I would love us to make a demonstration before I give over to Am. Can we all stand up? Find someone that you don't know. It's going to be much easier. Find someone that you don't know. So find someone that you don't know. Now, I want you to think of that good thing that God has blessed you with. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe you have good friends. Just the good thing that God has blessed you with. What's this thing? You know it. Nobody else knows it. All of us, we've got something good that God has blessed us with. And I want you to encourage the person that you're holding hands with. I want you. Just think about that thing. What is it? Think about it. And I want you to encourage that person. We just demonstrate. Some of us don't know how to encourage others. But now, you're going to learn how. You're going to learn how. Okay? So let's encourage one another. It can be a verse from the Bible. It can be a thought that God drops into your heart, whatever it is.